and welcome to the program. We're back in looking at the people in the book of John, 12 people. We've looked at John the Baptist, Andrew, Philip, Nathanael, Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the nobleman, and now we want to look at the man at the pool of Bethesda. Stay tuned for this program. We'll be in John chapter 5. Have your Bible ready. In John chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters, and whosoever then first after troubling of the waters stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, and he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. These hypocrites didn't care that he got healed. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Verse 11, he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is this which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Well, we'll look at this in part, at least can focus on the man in the story here. But before we do, listen, we're going through hard times right now. Things are changing every day. I'm trapped in my house here. Haven't been able to get out for a couple of weeks, lest I get this silly virus that's going around. And I'm one of those that's well over 70, and I need, according to all the experts, I need to be very careful, and I'm going to be. However, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I've read the last chapter, and I have nothing to worry about. If you're a child of God, you can rest assured that nothing's happening here by accident. Things are not out of control from God's perspective. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Listen to this message and song, The Bible Stands.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the Bible.
Well, looking at our story here in John chapter 5, the people that are involved in this story, in verse 1 we have Jesus. In verse number 3 it mentions a great multitude and an angel in verse 4, a certain man, which we'll look at here today, verse 5. It also mentions the Jews and the Pharisees, verse 10, it mentions Jesus again in verse 14, and then the focus is back on the man in verse number 15. Now, reading the first couple of verses again, it says, "And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches." Now, you'll notice in your Bible the word market there is in italics. It's not in the original. And this is actually by the sheep gate, which is very significant. If you study our series on the book of Nehemiah, you can see what's important about that sheep gate. In any event, we have the people involved, but then the focus goes on the pool in verse number 3. "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Now, we have the problem here. The man has been here 38 years, and according to what we see here, someone has beat him into the pool every time. What is really going on here? Well, if you look at the character of God, it seems very unreasonable that God would set up this sort of a situation where he would watch and say, "Well, I wonder who's going to make it into the pool this time." That is not the character of God that you find in the Word of God. Now, before I say any more about this subject, I want you to understand that I believe the King James Version is the only version that we should be using. And I am very suspicious, and you should be very suspicious, of any Christian leader who promotes any other version than the King James Version. However, the best way to understand the Word of God is to compare Scripture with Scripture. Looking at this portion of Scripture, I've decided to do just that and spent several hours looking at healings in the Old Testament, and I found absolutely nothing that had anything to do with anybody being healed with a connection to a pool of water. When I go through and look at the healings in the New Testament, there's many people who were healed. None of them had anything to do with water or being in a pool of water. Now, when it comes to Jewish tradition, which is what I think we're looking at here, Matthew 15, verse 2 says, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" Now, the Jews were all upset, that is, the Jewish leaders, the hypocrites, the Pharisees, because they were not following, notice what it says, verse 2, they were transgressing the tradition of the elders in this washing ceremony that they had. How did Jesus answer these people? Well, I'll tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, well, you're right. I'm sorry that they messed up here. They're only human. I'll have to have a talk with them and straighten them out. That's not what he said. In verse 3, he says, why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? In verse 6, he says, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That's how he answered them. If you go to Mark chapter 7, we have another story there, verses 1 through 5. We read, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, that's the religious hypocrites of that day, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. The tradition of who? Of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received, to hold as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes, as the leadership of that day, asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now again, let's look at his answer, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied to you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honor me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Verse 9 says, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye keep your own tradition. And he went on listing some more of them. And in verse 13 he said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation, the word means manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers. So we see here a lot of tradition going on, and there was a lot of pools around Jerusalem at that time. You can study that, and you'll see that they're doing a lot of this washings and stuff that you find nothing in the Bible, except it is the tradition of the elders, the tradition of the Pharisees and those people who had added a lot of tradition, all kinds of them. You remember when Jesus was walking through the corn and the disciples were eating it? They said, oh, you're breaking the tradition. There's no tradition of God. It was the tradition of men. Well, let's turn our focus on the person. We see here the people in the pool. The person, it says in verse number 5, there was a certain man. And for this certain man, it's time to choose. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, and so it was for this man. It's time to choose. In John 5 and verse number 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, some say, well, that's a silly question to ask a man who wanted to be healed. No, it was a very, very good question. Are you ready to get past all this traditional nonsense? Wilt thou be made whole? We have the story back in Genesis chapter 24. And in verse number 58, they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Then there's a story about Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 3. It says, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 5, "Wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not?" For this man at the pool, it was time to quit blaming your circumstances. He said, "Oh, I have no man to help me into the pool." For him, it was a time to quit blaming his circumstances, and it was also a time to decide whether he's going to trust in the traditional religion or was he going to trust in the Word of God. Some years ago, I was out just knocking on some doors, trying to introduce some people to the Lord, and I knocked on this one door, and this elderly lady came to the door, and I talked to her there on the front porch and told her about the Lord and what it meant to trust Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She looked at me, she said, "I'm a Presbyterian." I said, "Oh, my grandfather was a Presbyterian minister too. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been in that church?" She said, "Oh, I've been in that church since I was a very young child." "Long time." I said, "Really? In all the years that you're in that church, did they ever explain to you how to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" She thought for a minute and said, "No, they never have." I said, "Well, you could receive Christ as your Savior right now." And she looked at me and she said, "I told you, I'm a Presbyterian." Well, the story of the man in John chapter 5 turned out better than that. It says in verse number 9, "Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and he walked." Well, the question is, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?"
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I